Hey everybody, welcome back to Forging Heroes. I'm your host, Josh Jensen, and today we're going to be talking about archetypes. So these are something, or this is something I've mentioned a lot in previous episodes, and so that's why I kind of want to clarify what all that means, and I think it's a great way to kind of expand your vocabulary is, you know, the way I like to look at it. When you can expand your understanding and vocabulary, your understanding of these different phrases and words and all these ways of sort of labeling and kind of measuring the principles from stories and movies, it can be a lot easier to learn. At least that's how I find it for me, when I'm able to put kind of definitions on stuff and have that structure and that vocabulary in my learning process. It helps everything kind of fit together better. And it's just really cool to see how it does really connect with all sorts of really great sources and people that kind of have put their own take on stuff. They have their own vocabulary. And for me, that's just a big deal to be able to understand, you know, how other people think about stuff and how they relate to stories and what they can teach me in the, you know, unique way that they express their learning, I guess. For those of you who don't know, an archetype, this is something that has obviously come up a lot. An archetype is typically used to mean like an original pattern or a model that something is based off of in psychology, which is kind of the way we're using it here. It refers to sort of an inherited idea or way of being. Maybe a train of thought, almost, or not necessarily a train of thought, but a pattern of thinking is more of a way of looking at it, or just a common theme seen throughout humanity. And it has to be something to be considered an archetype. It's got to be something really widely found. It can't just be found in a group of 10 people who share the same favorite color or something like that. It's got to be something a little bit more general and broad in order for it to be considered an archetype, because the idea is that it's seen at the roots of humanity. It's not something that people develop. It's something that is kind of within them. This is something that's been taught. So there's a guy named Carl Jung, and he was a kind of a psychiatrist and psychologist from Switzerland, I believe. And he was the one who kind of started this whole journey of, you know, analyzing psychology and kind of putting data and measuring psychology and learning how to quantify it and discuss, you know, results and being able to kind of discover these archetypes in people. And so he was very influential in that world, psychiatry and all that sort of stuff. And so, but that led to him being a big influence in, you know, lots of other places, anthropology, archaeology, literature, philosophy. I mean, all sorts of places and all sorts of people reference and use his teachings. And so he taught that there was, excuse me, he taught and proposed that there were 12 archetypes or 12 almost characters that represent humanity, that everyone fits into one of these categories somehow, maybe not perfectly, but someone that everyone fits into one of the archetypes. And so that's kind of the way he taught it. Now there's those other two guys named Robert Moore and Douglas Gillette, who have written several books together and written books by themselves as well. They wrote a really great book that where a lot of this is based off of, actually, called King, Warrior, Magician, and Lover, something in that order. And it talks about four basic archetypes. So they take his Carl Jung's 12, and they discovered and did their own research and did their own study and found that while Carl Jung proposed that there were 12 archetypes that each person could be classified by one, they found that there are four basic archetypes that are seen in everybody. So, and I think that could be the more helpful and constructive way of looking at this. I don't like, you know, those personality tests or things like that if they're not for the purpose of helping you understand yourself better, because sometimes it can get a little bit like a label, like, oh, you're a square and you're a circle and you're a triangle. And then you feel kind of confined by it. And then it has no purpose. You know, why do you need to define that? Unless there's some sort of learning or growth and understanding the way you think about things or understanding your psychology. And I think it's also more difficult because it's more specific and driven to each person. And so that's kind of Carl Jung's approach, is the 12 archetypes, you know, are different, almost different characters in a way, and they represent, or different people can fit into those different character types. And so the, you know, Robert and Douglas, they talk about these four archetypes, and they believe, and it makes a lot of sense that everybody to some degree or another has all four of these in them. And it's just a matter of how developed they are. And so that's what I kind of want to focus on, is their teachings on the four archetypes, if that makes sense. Now, the way they teach them is also, they teach these archetypes, these four archetypes are sort of, they talk about it a lot with the male psyche, but it applies to both men and women. But they talk about it as like, it's these are archetypes of psychology, just how Joseph Campbell's hero's journey is an archetype of stories. It's the same way, right? If you look at what we've talked about, the hero's journey is, it's an archetype of story, meaning it represents a journey that we all go through emotionally, mentally, physically, you know, that kind of journey of life. And it represents a lot of people. And that's why certain characters resonate with people, but it's also the psychology. And that's what these guys dive into. They dive into the psychology that represents the archetype of humanity as well. Now, to best understand what an archetype is in their kind of explanation, or just if you look at this up, if you just Google like these archetypes or heroes archetypes, you'll probably find some sort of diagram. But the way to look at it, or kind of best to picture it, is think of a triangle with the flat sides on the bottom. So you got the point at the top, and the top represents a fully developed version of the archetype, or a mature version of the archetype. And then the bottom represents what they call the bipolar and dysfunctional version of the archetype. And this brings us to the point, or the idea of the mature versus immature ego. So they teach that there's no such thing as being without ego, right? We talk about that, like, oh, you're so egotistical, or, you know, I got to work on not being, you know, or not having such a big ego or whatever. And they teach that there's no such thing as being without ego, that we are inherently going to have that ego inside of us. We're going to have that pride. The difference is on how mature versus immature it can be. It's never absent. It's just simply developed or underdeveloped. And so if you think about that triangle, like I mentioned earlier, the ego, or the developed ego, is the mature, responsible version of the archetype, is at the top. Now at the bottom, you have the dysfunctional and shadow form, is what another way of calling it. They call it the shadow form of the archetype, because it's not the archetype in its fullest. It's just missing some of the pieces. Now, a triangle has three sides, obviously, or three points. The top point being the mature version. Now at the bottom, like I said already, it's the immature version, but there's two poles. One is an active pole and one is a passive pole. And we'll talk more about that in the coming episodes, where we dissect the four archetypes individually. But basically, in that shadow form, where the archetype is not being lived and harnessed to its fullest, there is a passive version. So someone who is the shadow form in a very passive and weak way. And then the other side is the very active, which is someone who's aggressive and anxious and active in that dysfunctional form of the archetype. And that might be kind of confusing. Again, that'll make more sense as we kind of go into specific examples in the future, in these future episodes. But that is kind of the basic idea of what these archetypes mean, is that there's a mature version and immature version. And they teach that because all of us have all four of them inside us to some degree, doesn't mean, this is where I think it's really cool, is that it's a little bit different than like Carl Jung, where he has the 12 different archetypes, which are pretty exact, and everyone kind of fits into one or maybe two of the archetypes. Now, the idea of these guys teaching about the four archetypes being inside all of us is this idea that if you think about it as a scale, right? Like each archetype has, you know, 1 to 1,000 different levels of maturity and immaturity. So, and if you have four of those, then there's infinite combinations. So meaning we all have all four of them in us, but some of us might harness, because the idea is that some of them are more dominant. Because like I mentioned, their book is called King, Warrior, Magician, and Lover. I think those are the four archetypes. So there's the King archetype, or the King energy, the Warrior, the Magician, and the Lover. Those are the four archetypes. And so they teach that we all have all four of those inside us at all times. It's just a matter of how developed they all are. So some people have really developed in one or two of them, but some of the other ones are weaker, and you know, some are different. Some people really are drawn and are more manifestations of the King archetype or the Magician archetype or whatever. And I'll explain what those mean later. But the idea is that there's really unlimited combinations, because someone might have a really mature magician ego, or, you know, archetype, and they really fit into that spot, but they also have different varying levels of development than the other ones. And so it's a good way to kind of understand your tendencies while understanding that there's room for development, and you don't have to say, oh, I'm stuck in this one spot, because you can develop yourself to have a mature version of these archetypes inside you, if that makes sense. Anyway, I think that's really insightful, because also then they start to show, and this is what we'll talk about as well, is how they fit characters. And that's kind of how it ties to the hero's journey, is that it fits characters. Any good storyteller should be able to portray these archetypes and the characters that they're telling about, because these archetypes have certain they have certain tendencies. They have their own versions of shame. They have their own versions of aggression. They have their own versions or their own points, like, you know, controversial areas. They have points of tension with other archetypes. And so this is where just, you know, some people don't get along in the same way. And that's why characters don't get along in the same way. And then each of them have what they call like a predominant or primary emotion that is kind of the character's go-to or the person's go-to emotion for connecting with others. And so that's what these guys teach you. They're the four primary emotions that are used by these four archetypes. And so there's a lot of pieces that really apply to storytelling, and it can help us understand ourselves better as we see, you know, these examples in these stories. And so, and the purpose of these, you know, archetypes is to help people. I mean, what makes them so beneficial to, for us, is that it's supposed to help people kind of overcome and free themselves from the harmful stereotypes, the harmful archetypes, is another way of putting it, right? Anything that's been a label put by somebody else, it's to be able to avoid that and get rid of those harmful things. Like, for example, like when I was younger, and even still sometimes I mess with my brothers, and I would get, they'd call me a bully, right? They'd be like, "You're such a bully." And it would really bother me when they would say that. And so that was this harmful stereotype that I also started I started to feel that. I started to kind of become what they were saying. And so that's the idea of developing a good archetype, is understanding, okay, why are my tendencies like this that might lead them to call me a bully? And what actions am I doing that are reinforcing this? And how can I, you know, leave aside that stereotype or that archetype and mature my, or, you know, find a more mature balance. And again, nobody can be perfect. Another way of looking at this, another metaphor that I think makes this really clear, is think of a balloon, like some party balloon, right? If you just pull it out of the package, it's brand new, it's limp, there's nothing to it, right? It's just a piece of rubber, and there's nothing to it. It's not special. But then if you start blowing on it and you blow it up and you fill it up with air, eventually it can get so much, be so full, it's like super tight and expanded, and it can pop, right? Too much air will explode it. And so that's the way of looking at it, is like not putting any air in it is the passive version, or the passive immature ego. And the blown up, you know, exploded balloon is the active and aggressive side of the immature ego. But you have to find that balance in between, you know, both polar opposites, and learn how to mature the ego and develop it into in a middle ground, right? Finding the sweet spot for the balloon to have enough air so that it serves its purpose, but not so much that it explodes, right? That's a perfect way of looking at it. And either way, it's not helpful and it's not good. But it needs to find that balance. And so that's the idea and the purpose of these archetypes. That's the reason behind them. And that's why they can be so beneficial when we start to see them and recognize them in the characters in the movies we watch or the books we read, and especially starting to recognize patterns in the people around us. This isn't like some sort of one of those psychology games where you can, you know, start to manipulate people or understand how they work. But it's just interesting when you can start to see patterns and be like, oh, they maybe said that because this is their tendency because of this. And, you know, and you can understand their personality and understand how they react to things and know how to better respond to them, how to better see the humanity in them. And that's the whole point. It's the idea that we can become more well-rounded and mature human beings that are better suited for society, better suited for the community around us, better suited for our families and our social groups, to be able to fit better because we've developed ourselves. And that's the idea of mastery. I love that idea, the idea of self-mastery that comes from understanding more about yourself and perfecting and maturing those parts of the ego. So I'm super excited to dive into the four archetypes one by one. In the next episode, we will be talking about the sovereign or the king archetype and what that means. And so stay tuned for that. It'll be really good. So I will see you guys next time. Peace.